Well, we just wanted to prepare you. That's starting in a couple weeks, all right? Given the current climate and culture, we really wanted to tackle, why is it that we suddenly find ourselves in a culture where conversation is no longer possible? And so why are we so divided and growing rapidly? What's changed? How does faith impact that? It's going to be a knee-slapping good summer, so make sure you invite your friends and family to that. We have some cards showing up. We're in between series right now, so that is going to kick off on the 2nd of June. But in the meantime, today we're talking about something. My name is Anthony, for those of you who don't know me. And every once in a while, when we're between services, we kind of listen to what God is nudging us to. And if you know me, that's a phrase that I use quite a bit to see how God is guiding me in my life. And when he's nudging us to talk about something. And I just felt like there was something he was pushing us towards. And so today we're celebrating those who are taking the step to baptism, and we're working through what that means. And it hit me that we talk about baptism, we celebrate baptism so big, but a lot of us just don't understand the why, the how, the reason, the why we do it. So there are some of you here today who are joining us for the first time. Welcome. And you may not have observed a baptism here at Hoboken Grace. So before we get into the meat and potatoes of it all, I wanted to show you a little bit of how we celebrate baptism here at Hoboken Grace. So check out this video. So those are our Easter baptisms that happened last month. And so now we're all on the same page. We've seen how we celebrate baptisms here at Hoboken Grace. Some of you have experienced it. Some of you have actually been baptized here at Hoboken Grace. But when you look at it, and you look at it from different points of view, when you step back, it's kind of weird. If you think about it, we bring a tub on stage. We fill it with water. People willingly get into the tub in public, with their friends and family around them that are encouraging them to do this too, and they go under the water and they come out and they get all wet. And it's a big celebration and we're super excited about that and everything is weird. And it's bizarre. Sometimes people look at it and they go, well, are they going to hold me under? Do I have to hold my breath? How long do I have to hold my breath for? Can I wear a shower cap? I mean, there's a whole bunch of things that people ask when and if they take the step. And if you take a step back, it is a little weird. And so we really wanted to take a moment to find out why we do it. Because here's the truth. We don't want to do anything here at Hoboken Grace that, number one, doesn't fulfill our mission of helping people find their way back to God. It's not really our mission. It's God's mission of helping people find their way back to him. And we get to partner with him on that. But we don't want to do anything here that doesn't fulfill that mission. And listen, if we don't want to do anything here in which you don't understand the why, in which you don't understand why we do it. And listen, it's a tough thing. People go back and forth based on the traditions that maybe you were raised in. Everybody has an interaction with baptism in one way, shape, or form, based on whether you were raised in a church or whether you were interacted with those who were part of a church growing up. Maybe you were, different people practice different baptisms in different way, and so people have different relationships to it. And listen, this can be an emotional topic. I get that. I mean, this can be a tricky conversation. I mean, the way that you were raised may shape the way that you view baptisms. They may shape the way that you interact with them. If you've been around, if you've been raised in a church, something in your life has revolved around this true. And your view of baptism has been, maybe painted by your parents or been painted by the tradition that you've been raised in. And maybe you don't understand, you haven't really figured out how you feel about this whole God thing yet. Somebody invited you here today, or you just, stopped in because you're trying to get away from the Arts and Music Festival. Whatever it is, you're here today, and there's some sort of interaction when it comes to baptism. And in fact, it's often misunderstood. People sometimes take a almost superstitious step towards baptism. I have people call the office all the time that are interested in getting maybe their babies baptized. And before I get into the theological discussion with them, we kind of talk about why. And like I said, they're almost doing it for superstitious reasons. I actually had a grandmother call one time who wanted to know if we could baptize her grandson in the next couple of days. And I said, before we get into the theological reasons of why or why not, I said, well, where's the urgency? And she said, well, my son and his wife are out of town, and they don't want my grandson to get baptized, so I want to get it in. And I'm like, I'm like, how are you going to explain that? What if they come home early and he's wet? I mean, it's just, we're going to have to figure that one out. You know, and then there's all these questions around it. You know, do I have to go under all the way? Can I just get sprinkled? I mean, do I get baptized as a baby? Do I get baptized as an adult? If I get baptized as a baby, do I need to get baptized as an adult? I mean, all of these questions really kind of circle around people's heads. And the reason why, I think most Christian churches talk about it is because Jesus talks so much about it. In fact, in the New Testament alone, the Greek word for baptism, its cognates, its synonyms, they happen over 125 times in the New Testament. And I've written them all down and the doors are locked, so here we go. My mother, just kidding. So it's 125 times. Jesus talks about it. We are going to explore it because there is something around it. Whether it's been your interaction or not, there is something about watching a baptism, seeing a baptism, interacting with a baptism, that something happens. You may have experienced a baptism, or you may have seen a baptism here or someplace else, and you're not sure how you feel about this whole God thing, but you're just sitting there going, why am I crying? Why do I have an emotional response to this? And so we want to dig deeper today, to kind of go back into the history, to find out what this, what the word means, why we do it, why we continue to do it today, why we believe Jesus is calling us to continue to do it today, and why it's not just some antiquated tradition, right? And listen, my goal here is simple, right? I want you to understand what it means and why we do what we do, but also, my overlying goal is if you've walked into this relationship with Jesus Christ and you've said, yes, I believe Jesus is who he says he is, and you haven't taken that step of baptism, I want you to take that step of baptism. And maybe you're like me, you know, back when I got baptized when I was in graduate school, that every time my pastor in Alabama was bringing up the B word, that something in my heart was nudging me towards taking that step. And maybe that's you. Maybe that every time you see a baptism or you hear about baptism, that there's just something inside of you that's moving you towards that. You know, and we make a big deal out of it. I mean, which, you know, you saw people, you know, raising their hands, and we don't make it light of the situation here. I mean, if you've seen a baptism here at Hoboken Grace, we don't golf clap, we don't nod, you know, we don't think that's so great. We get up, we hoop, we holler, there's bruises. I mean, we're excited to be able to celebrate here, right? I mean, this is what it's all about, right? I mean, listen, America is not the only thing that runs on Duncan, so do we. We run on Duncan. The reason, been waiting all morning. So the reason this part of the Christian tradition there, and so many different traditions, that they differ how they do it and why they do it, the reason is because of something that Jesus Christ said. It's literally, when you look at the whole scope of Jesus' life, right, he goes through his ministry, he dies on the cross, 3 days later he's raised, as his resurrection, he talks to people. Literally, one of the last things he says to his disciples, to his followers, those of us who've walked into this relationship with him, is found in Matthew 28. Now listen, whether or not you've been to church before, whether or not you've even cracked open your scriptures, it may be not as popular as John 3:16, but I'm sure you've heard this in one way, shape, or form. Matthew 28, 19 through 20 says this. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, there it is, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? And then he says, he continues, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, right? And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. In other words, there are people who are becoming disciples. Now, when you become a disciple, that means you are becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. He says, whenever people are becoming disciples, wherever that is happening, I want them to be baptized. Whenever the name of Jesus is embraced, I want them to be baptized. Now listen, for the last 5 years or so, I've been teaching the What is Baptism class, and over the past 5 years, I get a lot of questions. So rather than just, you know, go through all the history and the theological stuff, and we'll go through that, but I really wanted to shape today over the questions that I get over and over and over again, the questions that I get every single time that I teach this. Now the reason I love these kind of questions and stuff is it allows us to dig deep, to peel back the history, and to really see what it was all about. Now, those of you who know me, my favorite fictional character of all time was Indiana Jones. I always thought I wanted to be an archaeologist until I really figured out what an archaeologist was. And they don't do anything that Indiana Jones did, but I thought it was really cool. But you know, you get a chance to dig deeper. You get a chance to find out what it means to take that step and why we do what we do. So the first question I always get is pretty common, right? Where did baptism come from? So when people sit across from me and what is baptism, one of the questions I get constantly is, well, where did it come from? Why do we even do this? Well, first off, baptism, it's important to know that baptism didn't start with Jesus. It's actually, it was known in the Jewish world, right? It was known as something that Jesus would have, that those who were his disciples and those who lived during Jesus' time would have been very familiar with, right? It was a Jewish custom of cleansing. It was a ritualistic cleansing or a washing. John, one of the Gospels, talks about it this way. John 2:6 says that there was nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. So this was something that the Jewish people and Gentiles alike, those who were non-Jewish people, during this time would have become very familiar with. Now, there was a tradition, okay, when a Gentile, a non-Jewish person, wanted to become a Jewish person, they had to go through three things. Number one was they had to do a sacrifice, okay, so that they would go up to God and they would present a sacrifice of some sort, an animal, a symbol that all of their sins would be put on this sacrifice. Second would be circumcision, all right? A sign of God's covenant with Israel. So sacrifice and circumcision. Now, just those two alone wouldn't cut it. You'll get that later. Now's a great time to tell you about Grace Kids. Kidding. And then the third one was baptism, right? It was a symbol of their inner cleansing. It was a symbol of their inner cleansing, and it was a symbol of their forgiveness. So they had sacrifice, right? They had circumcision, and they had baptism. So as you see already, there was meaning behind this, that it was about, you know, going into who I follow. There was a sacrifice, there was a sign of God's covenant, and there was this baptism, this ritualistic repentance and for following God. So it's interesting, and Jesus does this a lot. Jesus takes something that the world would have been very familiar with, and even though it was pointing, you know, even though it would point to God or it would point to that, he actually gave it meaning. He gave it real purpose in saying, you know what? When you take this step of baptism, it's not about some animal sacrifice. It's about my sacrifice. It's about this new covenant that I bring to you that Jesus said. It's a new covenant, right? And then that baptism is that symbol of that forgiveness in that relationship. So again, you see that symbol, right? The covenant, you see the repentance, and you see the sacrifice all tied into what Jesus took, what the Jewish people would have been very familiar with. All right? The second question I get, which is very, very understandable when you walk into a what is baptism class, is, Anthony, why should I get baptized? Well, quite frankly, if you've put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, it is something that he commanded us to do. Let's look at that verse again in Matthew 28. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So here he's saying, listen, once you are a disciple, once you have put your faith and trust in Jesus, the next step is to be baptized. Therefore, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these disciples these new commands that I have given you. So these are the commands that Jesus has given us. So basically, that he came to die for us. What is that? What are the things that he, you know, how do you become a disciple? When you put your faith and you put your trust in Jesus Christ, when you believe that he came to die for your sins, when you believe that, the next step for you is to take baptism. That verse gives us really three steps. If we're followers of Christ. Number one, tell others about Jesus, all right? So therefore go and make disciples, letting people know, right? When people respond in faith, baptize them. Therefore, go make disciples, baptizing them. And then he says, teach them everything Jesus commanded. Therefore, go make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach these new disciples these commands that I have given you. And it's interesting. These are the commands that he's given to all
followers of Jesus Christ, which is why when we come up here, Pastor Chris or myself, we don't do the baptizing alone. We believe that this was something that was given to all disciples, which is why they're, you know, those who come up here to take a step of baptism are surrounded by their friends, their family, their dinner groups, those who have played an important part in their walk with Jesus. It's a command for the whole church. Look at what it says in 1 Corinthians 12:13. For we were all baptized by one spirit as to form one body. Again, he's talking about the body of believers, all of us. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one spirit to drink. He says, listen, when you take that step of baptism, we are baptized into this body of believers. It doesn't matter where you came from, it doesn't matter what your background is, that we are all members of the same community united by Christ. It's this badge of belonging, this command that's been given to the church. And it's something that we are commanded to do even to today. Jesus says, and know that I'm with you even to the end of the age. All right, this wasn't just something that he had commanded his followers to do in the moment and that it would go away for a while when it started to become a little weird. No, he's saying, listen, as soon as you walk into this relationship, you're going to continue to allow people to take this step, to have them walk in and make this declaration. And it's something that Jesus told his disciples to do because it was tied to discipleship. It was tied to who I follow. Look at what it says in John 4:2. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. So John the Baptist, right? It's in his name. John was baptizing people, right? And as you see in the scriptures, when he was baptizing people, they would become followers of John because he was the one that was making, he was the one that was doing the baptizing. And so it was thought that whoever baptized me, that's who I became the follower of. So he was saying, you know, Jesus was getting more disciples than John was. And although, in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, it was his disciples. He said, okay, now that I'm here, I want you to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit so that it's tied to discipleship of who I follow. I'm not baptizing in the name of John. I'm not baptizing in the name of Paul. When I baptize you, I'm not baptizing you in the name of Anthony. We baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit as followers of Christ. So you see it there that it's tied to discipleship. And the Apostle Paul points it out in 1 Corinthians 10 through 12. Listen, I know I'm going through a lot of scripture. It's all in your app. If you go into your app right now, click on this Sunday, look for the notes section, it's all right there. So you can go back and read it, which I know you all will. So the next one is 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 2. I don't want you to forget, dear brothers and sisters, about our ancestors in the wilderness long ago. All of them were guided by a cloud that moved ahead of them, and all of them walked through the sea on dry ground, in the cloud and in the sea. And here's what I want you to pay attention to. All of them were baptized as followers of Moses. Again, you see something that that the people during Jesus' time would have understood, and he gave it ultimate meaning. He says, listen, you understand that you were baptized, that those, you know, that your Israelite ancestors were baptized as followers of Moses, all right? So you understand that this baptism was tied to discipleship, and now I want you to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit as followers of Christ. Third question I get quite a bit, what about infant baptism? To be more specific, the question I get is, I was baptized as a baby, do I need to get baptized again? Now I have a confession to make. I was baptized as a baby, at least that's what I'm told. I don't have a recollection, but I've seen the pictures. And if you were like me, and you were also baptized as a baby, here's what I want you to know, and here's what I want to make clear. And here's what I want my parents to know, who are undoubtedly watching on live stream right now. Hello. This takes nothing away from what your parents did, and this takes nothing away from what my parents did for me. If you were baptized as a baby, as I was, it's as if your parents were acknowledging that they were going to need God's help in raising this child, and that they were committing you to know who God is, to raise this child to know who God was, while they raised you. And this is very similar. What we do is called child dedication at Hoboken Grace. And see, parents will dedicate their children to God and promise to raise them to know who He is. And as you know, we use this as a prayer for His guidance and His wisdom. And listen, it's true. This is not just pulled, you know, this is not something that we just like to do or something that we feel is better. We actually pull it from the scriptures. In fact, Jesus Himself was dedicated. When you look at Luke 2:22, when it came the time for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary, that's Jesus' parents, right, took him, that is Jesus, Joseph and Mary took Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, right? So we see this sense of presenting the baby, presenting the child to the Lord. But the question on everyone's mind is should babies be baptized? And here's where I'm pulling. And again, I'm just looking at scripture and here's what I've found and just looking at what scripture tells me. Acts 2:41 says this: those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the number that day. And then again in Acts 8:12 through 13, it says, but when they believed Philip as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then verse 13, Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles that he saw. So the emphasis on these passages are faith before baptism. There are no explicit examples of infants being baptized in the New Testament, and all identified persons that were baptized in the New Testament were old enough to believe and to accept. We see them coming to faith and then being baptized. We see the people asking about baptism, being told about Jesus Christ, and then being baptized, right? Here's what it says in Colossians 2:12. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. So there it says, he says in this new life, right? He says that a new life becomes a reality through faith, right? And so for this particular instant, faith is not something that infants can have because of what it says in Romans 10:17. So consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Jesus Christ. So the thought process is that when you come to hear the message of Jesus Christ and you walk into this relationship and you have the faith, you hear the message, that's when you believe. I think a perfect story about this is my mother's baptism. And you know, my mom was baptized as a baby, and I, like I said, I was baptized as a baby. And as she grew up, watching her son make some interesting career choices. Initially, I told her I wanted to be a professional wrestler. Then I was going to be a baseball player, and then I actually went to school for acting, which, as we all know, that makes you loads of money. Then I went to graduate school, and then seminary, and then went into the ministry, and so as my mom began to kind of interact, like, what is he doing? We started to have conversations about faith, and my mom and my dad would go to their church in Colorado where I grew up, and they would hear the message, and we'd talk about it, and they one particular Sunday, my mom went to their church on Saturday night. They go to their church on Saturday night so they can watch Hoboken Grace live on Sunday. Hello again, Mom. And their pastor in Colorado was doing a message on baptism. And there was always something there for her, and she was kind of, like she said, she was like, I was baptized by my mom, and I thought I was good there, but there was always something on my heart about this every time that it was brought up. And so my mom said she went home that night, and she just prayed to God before she went to bed. She said, if I'm supposed to take this step, God, just, pave the way, if this is supposed to be what you want me to do. And that Sunday, when she tuned in to Hoboken Grace, this was back in 2015, it's the only other time that we've ever done a conversation about baptism, her son was up there talking about it, and so she took that as God's sign, and so she called me, and she was supposed to be out here. The following week was going to be Memorial Day weekend, and we happened to be doing baptisms here that Sunday, and she said, can I get baptized at Hoboken Grace? And after I stopped chopping onions and getting the things out of my eye, I said, absolutely. And so my mother took the step of baptism right here on the stage, and it was an incredible experience for me in so many ways. But I'll never forget what she said when they asked her why she did it. She said, this doesn't take anything away from what my mom did for me. She's like, this was my opportunity to stand in front of everybody, to just show what Jesus has done for me, what Jesus has done for my family, and what Jesus has done in my life. And it was just this beautiful moment, and just this incredible testament to how Jesus works in the life of a believer when they take this step. So again, this doesn't take anything away from what your parents did for you, if that was you, if your parents, you know, baptized you as a baby. This was just further confirmation for her that, you know what? Yes, Jesus did come, he rescued me, and he did this for me, and look what he did for me, and look what he did for my family. The fourth question I get quite a bit is right after this one. Why do I have to do it in front of everyone? Why do I have to get up on stage with the lights and the cheering? Can I do it in my bathtub at home? I mean, my faith is personal, it's private, isn't enough that I trust Jesus? God knows my heart. Okay, wait, calm down. Let me tell you this. I understand. But if you're nervous about becoming a follower of Christ, right? If you're nervous about going public, more or less, about becoming a follower of Christ, think of baptism as an aid rather than an obstacle. See, we're told when we walk into this relationship, therefore go and tell others, right? Go and tell others about being a disciple, make people discipleship, right? They tell others about Jesus Christ. Baptism helps you do that. See, there is power. There is something that happens. Something that happens in the life of a person who is sitting there and watching these baptisms, that God uses that in a person's life to say, yes, there's something happening, there's something there that I connect to. And again, it's tied to discipleship. Discipleship is always something that happens out in the open. It's not something that happens privately. Discipleship is always about other people. And our mission of helping people find their way back to God, God uses baptisms to be able to point people towards him. He'd be able to use it to soften their hearts to be able to be pointed back towards him. And last but not least, probably the most important question that I get is, don't I have to have it all together before I get baptized? I mean, this is such a big question, and it's one that I get most frequent. And first thing to note is that many people believe that it's baptism that saves you. And some churches actually even teach this, but the problem with that is not only does it not fit into the history of baptism, it doesn't fit into the rest of Scripture either. Here's what the Apostle Paul says about it in Ephesians 2. He says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for it. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. It doesn't say that he saved you when you got baptized. No, it says you were saved when you believed. Salvation comes the moment you put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ. Baptism is always about the work and the righteousness of Jesus, not about the works and the righteousness of you. It's about the person and the promises of Jesus, and it's not about us. The importance of baptism rests on what it says about God and the gospel of Jesus Christ, and not of what it says about the person who's getting baptized. Here's what it says in Galatians 3:27. It says, for all of you who were baptized in Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. What he's saying there is, listen, when God looks at you, He doesn't see all your past faults. He doesn't see all the things that you've done. He doesn't even see the things that you're going to do. When you walk into this relationship with Jesus, you say, I put my faith and my trust in you, Jesus, that you are literally clothed with the righteousness of Christ. So when he looks at you, he doesn't see all of those things that you think you have to live up for. Some people get up here and they go, they're worried about getting up here because that means, listen, I got to live a right life. I got to do the right things and all this stuff. It's not about you. It's about what Jesus has already done. This is you saying, yes, I believe, I accept what Jesus Christ did for me. I need a Savior. I can't make up for all that stuff that I did, and I know that I'm probably going to do. It's not about that. It's about clothing yourself in Jesus. One of my favorite accounts from Scripture is actually found in Acts chapter 8, and it's the account of the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip. In Acts chapter 8, verses 27 through 39, the account goes like this. So he started out, this is Philip. Philip's a disciple of Jesus. He started out on his way, and he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all of the treasury of the Candace, which means the queen of the Ethiopians. Now this man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading from the book of Isaiah the prophet. So the Spirit told Philip, go to the chariot and stay near it. Again, you see those promptings of the Holy Spirit. And then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. So Philip asks him, do you understand what you're reading? And the eunuch says, well, how can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and to sit with him. And this is the passage of Scripture that the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth? The eunuch asked Philip, well, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else? And then Philip began with the very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. He said, who was this sheep, this lamb that was led to slaughter? Well, let me tell you about Jesus. Jesus was the lamb that was led to slaughter. And he is the one that made us clean. That when you walk into this relationship with him, you don't have to worry about where you're going to go. That he has saved you, that he's walked you, that he's clothed you with Christ. And as they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, here's water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. And then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When he came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but he went on his way rejoicing. Oh, I love this passage for a number of reasons. Number one, he heard the message of Jesus Christ. He saw water and said, what keeps me from being baptized? Nothing. They go down into the water. They make it happen. Do you think during that long time that he had from hearing the message and taking the step of baptism that he had time to get his life together? No, because he understood what it meant of putting his faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that you are made right because of that, not because of all the stuff that you've done, but because you put your faith and trust in Jesus. And I love that it says that he goes away rejoicing as soon as he comes out of the water. You saw that video. You've seen people who take the step of baptism. They're like, yes! Nobody ever comes out of that water and says, that was a mistake. They're going away rejoicing. And the one last reason why it's so important that we believe the step of baptism is so important is because you have to look at Jesus. One of the biggest reasons that we do the step of baptism the way that we do it is because of Jesus. Jesus Christ himself was baptized. And our goal to become Christ-like and our goal to become like him is all about following him. Jesus was big on that over and over and over again. Jesus talks about following me. Matthew 4:19, come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. Matthew 16:24, then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. John 1:43, the next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee, finding Philip. He said to them, follow me. John 8:12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever what? Follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have light in the life. You don't start following someone by saying no. You don't start following someone by denying. So the question is, will you follow Jesus? The Ethiopian eunuch heard the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. He saw the water and was baptized. And what's the gospel? This is the gospel. That the one and only God, the one and only God who made us in his image to know him, but we turned our back on him, thought we could live our lives better, so we cut ourselves off from him. In his great love, God became a man in Jesus. He lived a perfect life and died on the cross, thus fulfilling the law himself and taking on himself the punishment for our sins, for all of those who would ever turn and trust in him. He rose again from the dead, showing that God accepted Christ's sacrifice and that God's wrath against us had been exhausted. He now calls us to turn from our ways and to trust Christ alone for our forgiveness. If we repent and trust in Christ, we are born again into a new life, an eternal life with God. You've just heard the good news of Jesus Christ. There's water. Same question to you is the same question that the Ethiopian eunuch had. There's water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized? Here's your question. Here's my question to you. Look, here's water. What can stand in the way of you being baptized? It can happen today. If you've put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, it can be done right here, right now. We have shirts, we have shorts, we have towels. If this has been on your heart to do it, if today you've walked into that relationship with him, you've believed, your next step is to take that step of baptism. As soon as I'm done praying, I want you to meet me back there by those doors, and we can make it happen today. Belief, and then baptism. Just as that eunuch walked away rejoicing, I can't wait to see what he's going to do in your life. So, if you're ready to take that step, meet me back there by those doors, and we can make it happen today. Will you pray with me? Father, first and foremost, we want to thank you for what you're doing in the lives of our family and just this incredible truth that you've given us. God, you are huge. And yet, you are wanting to have a relationship with each and every one of us. My prayer is for those of us who are listening right here, right now, who hear the message of Jesus Christ, who hear that prompting of them to take that step, that you will give them the courage, the strength, and the wisdom to let them know that this is what you're calling them to do. That right here, right now, they can take that step. And that you cannot wait to use that step in the lives of those who are watching right here, right now. God, we celebrate you, and it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.